Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, my name is Joel Dusha, and welcome to another episode of Joel Dusha Spooks America. I'm Joel Dusha.
I'm Jackson Bailey. I'm filling Adam. In for Joel Zammit. For now and maybe forever.
And I'm Adam. And I don't like how this is progressing because I think I'm next.
Down the line.
And today I wanted to talk to everyone about the mystery of D.B. Cooper.
What does the D.B. stand for?
It actually stands for Dan. People just heard his name wrong.
That's great.
Wait, what? So his name is Dan Cooper, but people were calling him D.B. Cooper?
Yeah, because it was misreported in the media.
Wow, I feel like that's going to be a trope of so many of the mysteries we do.
All right, so either of you familiar with him, just by name?
Ever so slightly. Like, I know the
not
basic story, but none of the specifics.
Well, basically, D.B. Cooper, or Dan, as I like to call him, because it's his name, hijacked a Boeing 727 aircraft in the airspace between Portland and Seattle.
Oh, yeah.
On the 21st of November, 1971, he got on the plane like normal. He was like a well-dressed gentleman. He was quite polite. He was quite calm. He gave an air hostess a note, and she just dropped it straight into a bag, thinking he was like a lonely businessman that was like, and the note said, "Hey, wanna fuck?" But it didn't. It said, so I'll explain the note in a second. So yeah, he then leant over to the air hostess and was like, "Miss, you might want to read that. I have a bomb." And she was stressed, obviously.
Yeah.
She picked up the note, and the note pretty much just said, "I have a bomb in my briefcase. I will use it if necessary. I want you to sit next to me. You are being hijacked." Which is...
dang.
Stressful.
Yeah.
The air hostess then asked to see the bomb. She was just like, "Is this a joke?" He opened...
what a fucking chance.
Fuck, right?
I was like, "I have a bomb." You're like, "Prove it."
I don't believe you. Show
me. She called out DB on his bullshit, and he opened his briefcase, and she saw like 8 cylinders with just like wires connected them. Okay. And she was like, "Well, I'm an air hostess, but that looks like a fucking bomb."
In my long career.
Calls him out. "No, show me the bomb." I guess that's a bomb. Okay.
Yeah, after he
you can't buy this.
I'll believe it for now.
After he was like opened his briefcase, he closed it and he was like, he dictated his demands, which was pretty much just $200,000 in negotiable American currency, 4 parachutes, so 2 primary and 2 secondary, or 2 reserve.
No, wait, I do know this story.
A fuel truck standing by in Seattle where they were landing to refuel the plane. The air hostess fucked off to the pilot and was like, guess what? And when she came back, he was sitting there in the same spot, just wearing dark sunglasses there.
Okay.
I know this story, and the reason I know this story is dumb. Continue.
Man, I'm excited to hear
it's a dumb story.
I know this story for a dumb reason as well that I'll reveal at the end.
I imagine it's the same one.
Does that have to do with Mad Men for the both of you?
Yep.
Oh, no.
Oh.
Oh, my God. Oh. Layers.
My story's a lot dumber than yours.
Layer City.
No, that means we get theories on top of theories at the end of this, which is good. So, yeah, the air hostess went to the pilot. Pilot was like, okay. They informed the local and federal authorities. The 36 other passengers were also informed. What? Oh, no, they were not informed.
I really want to see this like a drunk history, just the way you're reading it. You're like, the pilot was like, okay. Imagining, like, I don't know, like a comedian being like, okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Sure, I'll allow it.
Okay, that's
just like another, a Don Cheadle.
Okay, yeah. What else?
Yeah, okay, so the 36 other passengers were not informed. They were just told that there was going to be a slight delay.
Okay.
Because of a minor mechanical difficulty.
Think about that, everybody, next time you're on a plane. You hear there's a minor delay, somebody's robbing you.
As they were flying to Seattle, D.B. Cooper, this is all just background stuff that doesn't really have anything to do with the mystery. D.B. Cooper, he was like looking out of the plane and he was like, hey, this looks like this place. And he's like, and was talking to the air hostess and was like, Seattle's like a 20-minute drive from the closest military, the Air Force base.
Huh.
Yeah, he was like very, very familiar with the landscape from above and could tell exactly what was going on. He spoke in a calm and polite way. There was no, like, nothing stereotypical about him and other hijackers. He didn't seem hardened, like a hardened criminal or like political. There was, yeah.
Like, he didn't seem like
he wanted money.
Yeah, like, it was just, but he wanted money, but he also, there was no, like, I'm angry or like, fuck the government. He was just like,
please give me money.
Yes.
Politely.
Yeah, and then after all of this passed, this is kind of a spoiler because the air hostess survived. In fact, everyone survived. There was no casualties.
Aww.
Yeah, that's nice. Bit of a...
bit of a lighthearted one.
Yeah.
Aside from the
bomb threat.
But like, hey, bombs can be lighthearted.
Still, like, look, America, I'm sure you're still pretty spooked by the fact that there was a man on a plane with a bomb.
Yeah. That's a stress.
Yeah. Apparently, he was rather nice. So, this is a quote. He seemed rather nice. He was never cruel or nasty. He was thoughtful and calm the whole time. Yeah. He ordered two drinks.
Okay.
Both of them were bourbon and soda. Then he paid his drink tab before they landed.
Fuck. What a ballsy cunt.
And insisted that the air hostess keep the change.
Fuck. I was literally about to say, I petty tipped. I fucking petty tipped that smarmy little shit.
He also, because his plan, which he hadn't really established, but when they were landing in Seattle, that was going to be refueled and then he was going to fuck off, which is why it was a hot. Well, yeah, he was hijacking the plane.
Yeah, yeah.
He offered to request, as part of his ransom, meals for the crew.
Okay.
So he was like,
what?
So, like, as in, like, when they landed in Seattle, when he was getting the $200,000 and the parachutes, he was also going to be like, do you guys want food? Do you want me to ask for food so that we can eat?
That's great. That he's like, look, I'll get the money. You guys want Maccas?
Like, you guys want to make our Maccas run?
Do you guys want to get the government to make a Maccas run for us?
Because that's sick. That's ballsy as fuck. Pretty much, yeah. So the flight went like normal. They landed in Seattle. Yeah. The FBI rocked up with 10,000 unmarked $20 bills.
Yep.
How much money, sorry?
So 10,000 $20 bills.
Okay.
So $200,000, which is roughly $1 million in today's currency.
All right.
Then they gave him military-issued parachutes, which he rejected and was like, I want civilian ones with manually operated ripcords. Then the Seattle police got those from a local skydiving school, which is funny.
Why did he... Why does it say why he didn't want the...
I imagine, like, if the military... like,
Sorry, what did he request?
He requested four parachutes, so two normal ones. And, like... sorry.
One with a bonus.
A reserve.
And yeah, yeah. So two reserves, two primaries.
Yeah, yeah.
And they gave him military-issued ones, and he was like, no, take your military shit and fuck off. But he probably said it in a nice way, because he seems like a well-spoken gentleman. Mm. He was probably like, oh, no. These
thank
not
you very good. Much, but I'd be preferable. But I wonder what, yeah. I wonder why you would not.
I feel like it would be, because if they gave you the ones that they'd prepared, they'd have time to sell. Oh, yeah.
That sounds about right.
Surely... and maybe this is naive of me, but surely we can't in this, even back then, be like, we gave him a bomb parachute and no, now I mean, all like, we have to do is find the body.
It could be like a tracker or something like that.
Yeah,
on the parachute.
Like they could have put
it. Yes,
like
but yeah, that's true. That's so funny. Got him.
Be like, call him when he's in the air. You're like, I think you'll find that there's a bomb on your parachute. I will request $2,000 in negotiable $20 bills. I will pay for one drink. You may keep your change.
Dickhead.
Calling him a dickhead.
Oh, the best. But that's a good point. He could have conceivably put, like, the military could have put trackers on it. And
found yeah, where he was bombs.
Going. Mm-hmm.
Little ones. To go with the big bomb, I guess he had. Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they landed. Everything was fine with the landing. He got the shit he wanted. He let all the passengers go. And then when they were refueling, he gave them a whole bunch of requests. And they didn't quite meet some of these, and he became suspicious. So it got a bit stressful there for a bit.
What were some of the requests?
So, like, an FAA official requested a face-to-face meeting with Cooper, which he denied. There was an error in the refueling process because a vapor lock in the fuel tanker's truck pumping mechanism fucked up, which meant that they needed to swap the trucks. And he was like, this doesn't seem right. But then he was like, I'll allow it. And yeah, they swapped. And then a third truck had to be called in because the second one, because it was a backup, ran dry. And at that point, he was like,
Fucking me?
You pulling my bloody leg, fellas? But no, everything was fine with that. So approximately 2 hours after originally landing, the flight took off again. Only this time with just the pilot, one of the flight attendants, a co-pilot, and a flight engineer.
Okay.
Yep. So pretty much, yeah, then what happened was he...
parachuted off?
Yeah, he opened the... he went to the back of the plane, he opened the back of it, fucked off without telling them. And yeah, no one saw him parachute out. They just went to check the back of the plane and there was no one in there.
He was gone.
He was gone.
Did they know that he parachuted out and wasn't just a ghost?
Look, it's hard.
What does a ghost need with $200,000? What does a ghost need with a parachute?
That's what he needed to do in life. That's how he got to heaven. Riches.
Yeah, like he just disappeared. Like everyone searched the plane properly, like when it landed, couldn't find him. He just fucked off. And yeah, there's a lot of theories to what
it's kind of like that great combination of there's enough little bits of evidence to, like, you know, sway you one way or the other, but it's also vague enough that you're like, you can kind of ascribe anything to it. I've heard one of the theories, is that he just never existed.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of theories.
He never existed, and who was pretending to be him?
No, as in, like, the whole thing is just largely a fabrication. Like, none of it happened.
Oh, so it never happened.
Yeah, which makes sense up until the 1980s when 5,300 of those dollars got used.
Huh.
Yes.
Which means he survived the fall, I guess.
Yeah, so he used a parachute. He survived. It's suggested that he got the name Dan Cooper, which people thought was DB, but they just need to fucking
listen.
How
do you mispronounce Dan to make it sound like DB? Hey, I'm Dan, babe. I'm DB.
Apparently it's suggested that someone said it in the, like, a media just and then everyone just ran with that. There was a Canadian Air Force hero comic book in the 70s called Dan Cooper.
So
it suggested he got that. One of his skills was parachuting. So that's where they got the aliens
from. Wow, look at that. That's
but
weird.
Yeah, there's a lot of theories to, like, who he was. People think he was, like, some kind of agent.
I was going to say, there's, like, a couple of things there, and, like, maybe I'm just grasping at straws, which seem to, like, imply some kind of military background. He knew where that, like, maybe a pilot, like, he knew what the base looked like from the sky and sort of all of that. Plus, he didn't want a military parachute, maybe because he knew that, like, exactly how the military would treat their parachutes to catch someone doing what he was doing. You know what I mean? Is another one of the theories that it was entirely opportunistic. I've read that.
Yeah, well, I think
that he was just on the plane and he was like, fuck it.
Yeah, there was that. There's also a theory that, like, so they think he was Canadian because he said negotiable American currency. Because if he was American, he had no distinguishable accent, but because he was so well-spoken that he could have easily taught himself to just have a nothingy accent. He was a really careful and shrewd planner because the fact he asked for four parachutes made it sound like he was going to jump with a hostage so they didn't intentionally sabotage them.
Clever.
He chose that specific airplane because it was easy for him to bail out because the placement of the three engines was not in the way of the parachute.
I was about to say that, yeah.
It's also because that he was able to open the air stairs, which is what he jumped out of, at a height, and it won't crash the plane pretty much.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was real sneaky about it.
It's an interesting amount of money that he chose as well. Like, it doesn't seem like enough to, like, of course it'll raise suspicions, but it's not, like, ridiculous. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like why not ask for a million?
Yeah,
it was
also
a Friday, and
everyone was done with work.
no one in the country was reported as missing. So for him to do that, it's like they think it's quite feasible that this man just went back to work like normal on a Monday.
That's amazing.
Like, as in he just did this over the weekend and yeah.
Went back to work. That's crazy. Was it like, when was this? 1971. Okay. So $200,000 was like a...
quite a lot of money.
Yeah. I'm just wondering how he hid it. So he used 5,000, you said, later on in the 80s?
Well, you wouldn't need a... if no one knows where to find you, you're just like... put it under your bed or something.
Yeah, true. But you said 5,000 was used in the 80s, Dusha?
Yeah, in the 80s.
So what on?
Yeah.
Oh, hang on, give me a second, I'll find out.
Because that's an interesting little tidbit.
They also thought that he might have been a parajumper, but then he made a few mistakes when he was skydiving. Okay. Like, he didn't check the reserve chute. It was still stitched shut.
Oh, yeah.
Something that apparently...
you would know if you...
so they found the parachute?
Maybe. Hard to say.
Otherwise, how did they know?
Also because he jumped pitch black at the night wearing nothing but like a trench coat and loafers, sunglasses. Those 200-mile-per-hour winds. It's just too many risks.
Sort of amazing that he managed to survive that. Like, if he did... well, he clearly did survive. He used the $5,000. But like... wait, how did they know he used the $5,000?
Unless he...
because the money wasn't marked, but they kept... track of
the serial numbers, whatnot.
Okay.
So, like, he could have used
a lot, and because it was a large amount of the money,
currency circulates. We might never know what he actually spent it on. Like, yeah, that's true. You spend it at a shop, the shop takes it to a bank, the bank
spends the money, gives it to someone else. Yeah, that's true.
So, we found 5,000, but that's only because the feds can only check so many of the notes.
Yeah,
he could have spent all of it, and we might not.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Somebody might... he might have died in the woods. Somebody found his dead body and the bag and was like, sick. Getting away scot-free.
Surprisingly, parachuting isn't that hard.
Well, I get it's just
once you pull the chute, you just need to make sure you land somewhere safe.
Yeah,
I know in the darkness that's probably hard, but
that's what I was thinking.
Once you pull the chute, you're safe.
You probably can get out and whatever. If you got to go into work and be like, oh, this scratch on my face, I was playing skee ball, don't even question it. Shut your mouth.
Oh, I'm wearing...
here's $1 million to keep quiet. Your sweet lips.
I'm wearing a parachute thing because I just feel like it's the new hot trend.
It's what the kids do.
Actually, they
BQ.
They never found the parachute or anything.
Never
like that.
Never found the parachute. So it must be the parachute he didn't use.
Or there was just like, there was no evidence to suggest that he ripped. Maybe there was something you need to take out and it was just not on the plane kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
But they never found him and everyone just, like, the Bureau like the FBI is just like, there's no chance he survived that jump. And even if he did, he was ducking like mountain terrain.
Yeah. But then he spent the $5,000.
Yeah, like the money.
Well, the $5,000 got into circulation money, somehow. Yeah. Like, regardless of whether or not. So we either have the. What crime is that? If I find the dead body of a hijacker and I take the money the FBI gave him.
Well, I can think of theft and obstruction of a police investigation.
Oh, yeah, not fair. Good. I'm glad it is a crime and it's not a loophole in the system.
At the very least.
So, yeah, the FBI from the start were just like, he didn't survive. But, on the sly, have kept the case file open and has now grown to more than 60 volumes.
That's ridiculous. That means they've had further evidence then, surely, regarding the whole situation.
Well, evidence.
Well, yeah, at least
hey,
information.
Hey, I saw D.B. Cooper. He's teaching at my high school.
He's my dad.
I hope the FBI gets
yeah,
called
so
like
there's
that
no,
sometimes.
There's no real evidence of what it was found on. It was just like the discovery of a small cache of ransom bills in 1980 triggered renewal interest, but ultimately only deepened the mystery.
Wow. How curious.
So yeah, the reason I know about this is because when Mad Men was wrapping up, people just went like crazy with Mad Men because there was no real endpoint for the series. Like as in, people just kept being like, there's going to be crazy mysteries in this. Like people looking way too deep into how this is going to end. And the D.B. Cooper thing sort of fits in because Don had no real direction in his life after the end of the second last season.
Mm.
And his boss, Bert Cooper.
Are you about to spoil it for me?
How far into it are you?
I haven't watched any of it. Nah, spoil it. It's fine.
Well.
Just everyone will cop it in the dick.
Yeah.
Spoilers.
Like,
hang on, wait. I'm going to plug my ears. You guys let me know when you're done.
Okay.
This is strange because no one usually cares about Mad Men spoilers, especially people that have never seen the show. But here we are. Yes. So then, it was suggested because in the last season, the creators started putting in weird shit. Like Don's then wife was wearing the same t-shirt that Sharon Tate got murdered in. So people were like, is she going to turn out to be a Sharon Tate character? And then people were like, oh, wait, D.B. Cooper, like, Sterling Cooper is the name of the company.
Yeah, yeah.
The boss is Bert Cooper, so there's the B Cooper.
Fuck.
They were like, Don looks a lot like the sketch. A lot like the sketch. So they're like, that makes sense, because like, steals a whole bunch of money and just fucks off because he's got no aspects in life. Which turned out to not be true. He just made a Coca-Cola commercial and then went back to advertising. And that's the end of spoilers. Welcome back, Adam.
You didn't miss
much,
Adam.
I was on this show. No, I didn't miss much, did I?
No.
All right, then.
Yeah. How do you know about it, Adam?
So the way I know it is through a potential theory as to who Dan or D.B. Cooper is. And it's very dumb. So I can't remember if I saw this on Facebook or Cracked, but someone's like, so,
I know
the
this
director
theory.
Of the room, Tommy Wiseau, comes out of nowhere with enough money to just make a movie, and apparently the timing is about right, and the photos were like sitting next to each other.
What's amazing Tommy about Wiseau that is and that the- what do people think is the sequence of events? D.B. Cooper hijacks a plane, gets
Tommy
to-
Wiseau.
Tommy Wiseau. Wiseau?
Wiseau?
Wiseau. Tommy Wiseau hijacks a plane. Tommy Wiseau hijacks a plane, gets $200,000, leaps into the wilderness in like two decades later.
Bye, Mark.
Decides, you know what I'm going to do with this money I never spent? Make the roof.
Also, it's funny because they explain him as like a really well-spoken gentleman.
But Tommy Wiseau sounds so strange.
That's a nothing accent. If you had to say where he was from, you could.
I would say out of space.
Yeah, that's
keep
right.
The chain.
That's right, because
oh, hi,
they're like,
doggy.
They're like air hostess. They're like, oh, so where did he sound like he was from? She's like, can't say outer space.
Oh, just anywhere.
You know, just around.
Yeah, he could have been anywhere.
Can I please have negotiable American currency from my homeland, America?
Well, who do we think did it? Who do we think?
That's probably my favorite theory.
Tommy Wiseau is amazing. But
Tommy Wiseau or Donald Draper.
Spoilers!
He doesn't actually. Don Draper is not D.B. Cooper, Adam. It's not
there is
spoilers.
Nothing in Mad Men to suggest that's the case. It's just... This is funny, because listeners have been here the whole time, but you haven't. There is nothing in Mad Men to suggest that's the case. It's just people were trying to figure out how the show was going to end, and the internet just got so wrapped up in its own bullshit that they started looking...
That would have been a neat ending. Says someone who's never watched an episode of Man.
Oh, no. It, honestly, like, it wouldn't have
and it
really...
Man thing.
Huh? Mandrel.
Mad Men thing.
It wouldn't have stood out. By the end of Mad Men just starts doing whatever it wants, and it's the best show on television.
Well, I would say that it seems to me that DB, boy DB, Dan Bronald Cooper, was probably military. I really like the idea that it was an opportunistic thing, that he was on the plane and just like, fuck.
Well, that makes sense, because if he was military, he was just like, you know what, fuck it.
So the opportunistic thing is like, hey, you know, why don't I just hijack this plane? I mean, I've got these metal cylinders in my back.
Well, the it doesn't sound like we only have her word that it was a bomb. You know what I mean?
It was four cylinders on top of four. Like, so imagine if you opened a briefcase.
Yeah.
It was four cylinders with four cylinders on top and there was wires. But like, if you don't know what a bomb looks like, if he could have just been like...
He's like, here's four cylinders and wires. Yeah, it's a bomb. Whoa.
Or like...
You know.
He could have, like, he might have only just cracked it open.
So what could you have in a carry-on pack that would look like four cylinders with wires?
Eight things of deodorant.
And an alarm clock that's broken.
You're taking your broken alarm clock and your eight deodorant because you have a real bad sweat problem across America. You open your briefcase because you're like, am I sweating? Maybe I should fix it. And you're like, that looks like a bomb.
You see, if you like, you'd see the names of the deodorant, sure.
Yeah, well, no.
Rexona.
He had four bottles of Rexona on top of four other bottles of Rexona. I think one of them might have been Old Spice. I don't remember.
I'm not sure. I'm sorry. It was very traumatizing. But that is a good point,
Adam. He spoke like
he
was from outer space.
Tommy Wiseau. If we find out Tommy Wiseau has a terrible sweating problem, then we can answer it once and for all.
I like the idea that this is opportunistic.
Well, something about it appeals to me, but Adam's right. You wouldn't, if you had... like, what could you possibly have on you that looked like a bomb? Unless you were that opportunistic that you were like, break my alarm clock. Like, go to the bathroom of the plane, break your alarm clock. Maybe
it really depends, because it depends on... Because if she was scared and he just cracked up... Like, it depends on how he opened it, what he actually had in there. There is a chance, like...
What could you possibly have on you that would, you know, be appropriate to pretend was a bomb?
Yeah, because it depends, because we haven't really, we only have one air hostess's word, and while she was stressed, like, it's a stressful situation, so if you just cracked open the briefcase a bit, I don't know, if there was any type of metal or something
four
in there.
On top of four, you gotta crack it open more than a bit.
Plus, like, imagine if you're DB, and they're like, hey, do you have, you've got a bomb, he's like, yep, and she's like, show me, and he's like, otherwise you saw it. Such a bomb.
He had a bomb. It looked like four cylinders on four cylinders, and it smelt so nice.
Or it could just be like, imagine he opened the briefcase and just had a note that said, if you pretend this is a bomb, I'll give you some money.
That's
you
true.
Can keep the change.
I think what makes it feel like an opportunistic like scenario is the weird little caveats and things he did. Like when he lands and he's like, do you guys want food? Like,
yeah.
It's like kind of like what like he did.
And the fact he made the jump, it makes me just feel like he didn't really care if he lived or died. He was just like, whatevs.
Yeah, exactly.
What a day this has been.
Or this has been a busy day. Or he was just sort of like the whole time, if he's making it up as he's going along, it comes to the end and they're like, what are you going to do? And he's like, I guess I just jump out the plane.
1971. That's like
November. I think it was November 21, 1971.
Yeah, but to be flying in the 70s, you're like, for an opportunistic thing, if it is. Not many people fly.
He was
like back then.
Dressed.
He's a businessman.
Yeah, he was dressed like he was from money as well. So like,
he would have to be if it was opportunistic. So then, okay. So I don't like the bomb thing. Like if it's opportunistic, I don't like that. But I kind of do like as an idea, because he asked for only 200,000, which we said before. Like, why not ask for a million?
Yeah.
What if it's just like some rich guy who's like, I'm bored. Yeah. Why the fuck not?
Let's see if this works.
Well, it could have been opportunistic, like to the point where he just had a flight and he was like he finished work. I think I read somewhere it was a long weekend, so four days.
Yeah.
So, like, you might have just finished, well, actually, late November. Is that Thanksgiving?
No, November is not. October close to Thanksgiving, I think.
The end of November might be Thanksgiving. I'm sure there is absolutely no way of us checking, though, which is unfortunate.
literally impossible. Yep. So, we're going to assume October.
Halloween. Well,
October 31st.
Halloween.
Anyway, it was around the... It was late November, which I believe... Well, it was a full day weekend, whatever, regardless. So, yeah, it's a chance, like, you just finished work on Thursday. He's packing his bag and was like, maybe we'll just hijack this fucking plane. Who gives
a
shit?
What if I just rob it? Because what are your alternatives? Like you said, it's not heaps of money. So, either you're just like, I just want a certain amount of cash and I think I can get away with what is... When you think about it, such a, like, difficult...
Yeah.
Like...
Rob a bank.
There are so many things that could go wrong with his plan. Also, like you said, he planned it out so, like, in such a detailed way that if it is opportunistic, he was very lucky.
Yeah, but it's also... It was weird because, like, he was either very, very lucky or very, very clever until it came to the jump because they're just, like, people wouldn't survive that jump usually.
Yeah,
especially
true.
Not in what he was wearing. He had no helmet.
So why did he think that he, if he'd planned everything else as meticulously as it seems like he had, why would he just be like, and shit, I didn't think this far. I planned up until literally the end and then stopped.
Like if he planned it out as well as he did to just jump out like that, he had no helmet. He was just wearing like a trench coat.
Yeah, that seems like such a random thing to do after such, if as people say, it's like, it's planning, not luck. That's so... ridiculously, like, just ballsy. Like, well, fuck it, I'll do it. I'll jump out the plane and probably
die. It was
pitch
black, it was overcast.
Unless...
he wanted to die.
Well, that's one theory. I was going to say, he had an accomplice.
That's also another theory. There's a chance that there was an accomplice in where he was, like, his
yeah,
landing
Yeah, where
area.
He was going to land. Yeah, and that accomplice was going to direct him down. But still then...
That makes a lot of sense, to be honest.
Then it's like... Well, if you're splitting $200,000, everybody gets $100,000 each.
That's barely anything. That's only $500,000 in these days. Bloody, you can't even buy a house with that.
But also, actually...
Like, we joke, but the housing market, guys, that's the real
well,
spook.
Well, maybe back then you could have bought it.
Well, yeah, and also, like, at $200,000, you know, you're like, well, that's 100 for me, 100 for the other person. Just, that's...
5,300 for that bloke in the late... in the 80s?
Yeah.
For whoever...
whoever that guy was. For some reason, I keep imagining him buying a yacht. I don't know why. He's like, it's been long enough. No
yeah,
one will
I don't
be
know.
Suspicious.
It's just like one of those issues where it's a little bit spooky because stealing a plane is scary.
Well, and that end of him leaping out into the like lightning storm. Was there
it
a storm?
No, it was overcast. Yeah. It was pitch black and it was overcast and it was rocky mountainous terrain underneath. Mm.
That's like, whoa, what's happening? That's like the opening of a movie.
Yeah.
I like that. The most reasonable theory is just a man wanted a decent amount of money and just, like, just did it.
I love the idea that, one, it could be opportunistic and also combined with the fact that he may have just gone back to work on Monday. And
been like, the idea of him sitting at his desk, this, like, fucking stupid grin on his face because he knows that he is, like, I'm a fucking millionaire. I'm a fucking millionaire.
Oh, that would be so good.
And everyone's like, do you want to come for lunch, Dan? He's like, oh. Yeah, okay.
Bye, or did he go in to work on Monday being like, I quit?
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to be like, yeah, I quit. Why? No reason. Bye.
I'm giving my 2 weeks.
Mm.
As of 2 weeks ago.
So long, dickheads. Yeah, that's amazing.
And yeah, that's the story of D.B. Cooper and the man who stole $200,000 and then fucked off. A hero of mine, especially if he killed himself. I'd die for less.
And on that note, I've been Jackson Bailey.
I've been Adam.
And I've been Joel Dusher, and you are welcome for those spooks.
If you know when Thanksgiving occurs, message Ali Kathleen on Twitter. And if you have any more mysteries for us to spook out,
email us at sanspantsradio@gmail.com or tweet us at sanspantsradio. I'm at douche13.
I'm at all dogs are dead.
I'm at Retro Archetype.
See you then.
Get spooked, America.
You say it. Ghosts.
Ghosts.
Stop. step onto the legendary clay courts of Roland Garros, where the world's best players battle it out at the French Open for a chance to win a Grand Slam title. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. See the action unfold as legends fight for glory and new rivalries emerge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th, with match replays on demand so you never miss a moment. From the first serve to the final point, Roland Garros promises unforgettable moments and new chapters in tennis history. Stream now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it happens.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello? Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Do you wish your brain could be worse? The very idea of ideas hurts you? Well, we've got great news. For just under $7 a month, you can get access to the Bad Brain Boys Plus over on Apple Podcasts and never have to be clever again. Just head to apple.co/badbrainboys for your one-stop shop to smooth brain bliss, uninterrupted listening, and a heap of bonus content that'll give you ample opportunity to get actively stupider. That's apple.co/badbrainboys and start your free trial today.